Nice peaceful way to get the program started here today. It's a nice guitar. Michelle Held is our Live Music Friday performer. She hails from Detroit, and she sings and she plays her Gibson guitar very nicely and performs mostly her own songs. We'll get to know Michelle here a little bit better and hear several of her songs throughout the hour. She's going to be one of the singers featured at a Concerts in the Courtyard program in Old Town Lansing this next week, along with Jen Siggett. That's Thursday evening at the Old Town General Store on Thursday. More from Michelle Held here on a Live Music Friday on WKAR's Current State. Welcome back to the program. I'm Mark Bayshore. In 11 days, voters will narrow a crowded field of candidates vying to become Ingham County's next prosecutor. Current State has spoken to five of the six who want the job. Today we speak to number six. Monica Stevens is an assistant state attorney general who works on child protection cases. The Republican has also served as an assistant prosecutor in Jackson County. I spoke with Ms. Stevens recently and first asked her why she's running for the job.
I've been a longtime resident of Ingham County, and I have prosecutorial experience. And at this point in time, I see a great need for our county to have someone in office with experience and also with integrity. I think what we've been through as a county, as far as the allegations that came forth with our prior prosecutor, and him stepping down from that office, there's a void. There's a void in our county, and I've had the pleasure of working as an assistant prosecutor and as an assistant attorney general in several different counties. And with that experience, now I have an opportunity to bring that to our own county, the county that I love so dearly, Ingham County, and provide that experience and bring that to the office.
You spent time in the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. You're currently with the state AG. You've had a legal education, obviously. You have some perspective, some number of views about justice and specifically about prosecution. What experiences, what lessons have most shaped your views?
Well, I think the day-to-day of being an assistant prosecutor is one of the greatest experiences you can have when you're looking to fulfill this type of office. I've actually worked very closely with law enforcement. I've worked with victims to be a strong advocate for justice, whether they're children were victims, whether there were women of domestic violence, whether there were just people that were victims of drug-related crimes. So actually working with the victims to seek justice, actually doing the job of a prosecutor from day to day, whether it be jury trials, bench trials, handling misdemeanors, felony cases, just overall doing the job from day to day, that will be extremely beneficial to this role as prosecutor. So I believe I will bring that in addition with my education and, as you stated, also as being an assistant attorney general, that experience of protecting children and being a prosecutor from day to day.
You say on your website that one focus of yours would be crimes involving drugs. It's widely believed that we're in the middle of a heroin epidemic. Describe the approach that you would take to cases that involve heroin or opioids.
Sure. We all are aware that in Ingham County, the opioid and heroin use has been on the incline. And unfortunately, it has a broad effect where you have those that are the drug dealers that are selling the heroin or the prescription pills or opioids in those things off the market, or whether you have the addicts, the users, and that they are kind of caught up in the web of this addiction. So I think you're going to have to look at it as a broad approach that's going to take a collaborative effort from the community, from law enforcement, from those in the medical professional field. It's going to take all of us together, working together to solve this big problem. I believe there's a component of mental health as well. So working together, and not to forget working with the courts, with the specialty courts, whether it's drug court, sobriety court, working with probation, and connecting the addicts to services in our community, whether it's, you know, halfway houses, recovery centers, those sort of things. I think it's going to take all of that together to tackle the huge problem that we have here in Ingham County with our heroin and opioid usage on the incline.
You mentioned physicians, and I specifically wanted to ask you about that because physicians have a unique place in this. They're interested in helping patients with pain.
Absolutely.
But some have said doctors overprescribe painkillers. It sounds like a very complicated scenario. How do you navigate that as prosecutor?
Well, one is to promote awareness to the physicians and also education. I believe, as you stated, that physicians, their role, they're looking to reduce the pain, but oftentimes they don't see the back end of the problem. And so as we all come together, sit at the table, and we collaborate and we discuss from whether it be preventive services, that's at the beginning, just to prevent the addiction. And then you may be looking at the back end of the problem, whether it's law enforcement administering Narcan or your different pharmacies or whoever administering the Narcan to help those who overdose, but looking at the entire spectrum. So if you work with physicians so they can see the front end and the back end and how this affects families, how this affects individuals, then that's a way we begin with awareness and education. That's a way we can help work together with physicians.
Monica Stevens is a Republican candidate for Ingham County prosecutor. On August 2nd, voters will reduce the field of 6 to 2 who will square off in November. Could the legal system treat people with mental illness better? Are people with mental illness getting an unfair shake in the legal system?
Well, you know, I've had the pleasure of sitting on a mental health court when I worked as an assistant prosecutor in Jackson County. And here also in Ingham County, they have a mental health court. I do believe that's a good place to start. When you have a mental health court, you're working with a treatment team. So you have different mental health professionals, medical professionals sitting on the team in tandem with your law enforcement, with your judges, probation officers, the prosecutor, to treat the entire person. So it's aimed to determine, is the person continuing to commit crime because there's an underlying mental health condition? And so those medical professionals will help identify that underlying mental health illness that the defendant has. And you begin to treat that. And then there's incentives, you know, should the defendant cooperate with their treatment plan. And then there's also where the courts come in and the prosecutor comes in, should we have to provide more disciplinary action if they're not following the treatment plan. But I think the specialty court of mental health court is a good place to start. It helps to identify that mental illness in addition to identifying the crime that was committed, because we can't forget about the crime that was committed. And you treat both of those things. And I think that's a great place to start.
You sound like a pretty enthusiastic supporter of the specialty court concept, just in the comments you've made so far.
Yes, I think they have their place. I'm a strong, strong believer in tough prosecution. But even with that, I can admit that people come to the criminal justice system with underlying issues. And those things must be addressed as well, because after we apply our tough prosecutorial stance and they serve their time, let's say in jail or in prison or, you know, what have you, when they come out, we want to make sure that we reduce the rate of recidivism. And so that requires us identifying and dealing with the underlying issues of why this person may have committed the crime.
You, along with, I think, all of the other candidates that we've spoken with here on Current State, say you want to restore integrity to the office. Talk to us about how you would do that.
Oh, certainly. Well, one of the ways is that, and I will certainly say this for myself, one of the major ways is holding people accountable. We cannot show preference or favoritism to those who have political affiliations that may align with our own parties. We can't show preference or favoritism to those with a certain last name. We have to make sure that we are promoting fair and consistent prosecution across the board.
Do you think that's happened in the past in Ingham County? Or is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is certainly when you have the prosecutor involved, allegedly involved in prostitution type offenses, it brings a great concern. And I will go a step further to say, not only do you hold others accountable, but you have to hold yourself accountable. You are the top law enforcement officer of the county. For example, if you're going to prosecute those who commit drinking and driving offenses, then you should not be drinking and driving. Whether it's on the job, off the job, on the weekend, in the middle of the night when no one's looking, you should not be participating in such behavior. The second is transparency, whether it's allowing open door policy, which I would like in the office.
What do you mean by that exactly? Well, open door policy.
The public can access the office. Exactly. And in addition to the accessibility of the open door policy, but also access by way of telephone, by way of social media, Facebook, that they're able to know, specifically victims can know, what's happening? Where are we at in the process?
We're having a really serious conversation over policing in this country, specifically the use of force, sometimes deadly, and sometimes by white officers against people of color. Is policing in need of serious reform?
Well, and you're correct. At this time in our nation, this has been a very, very, very alarming and saddened time for our nation with the recent deaths that have occurred. You have the five officers in Dallas that were gunned down. That was senseless crime against them. It was so sad to me and just, you know, and then to have the two civilians, the seven deaths. We can never forget that these were families and these were people who left behind their family members. And I will say, as far as with law enforcement, they're crucial to our society. We need law enforcement. And so whatever we can do to support that, to support the law enforcement, that's needed in our society. So I certainly support law enforcement. And it's interesting.
But are serious reforms necessary?
Well, you know, training and like I was listening to the chief speak, Chief Brown, when he was speaking, he was saying how they have been educating and training officers on sensitivity in different matters. And so I believe that many of the law enforcement agencies, they've already been engaging in that. You have Ingham County looking to get more body cameras. So law enforcement is making steps. We can't forget that they're the criminal that is actually committing the crime, and we need law enforcement to stop them. And that has nothing to do with race. To me, it's a matter of what is right. A lot of people have asked, you know, while I'm out in public, does blue matter? Does black lives matter? Does all lives matter? What matters? And what I say to them is right is what matters, instead of looking at race and other things.
We want to thank Monica Stevens. Monica is a Republican candidate for Ingham County Prosecutor. Her website, Monica Stevens, with a PH, monicastevens.com. On August 2nd, voters will reduce the field of 6-2, and those two will square off in November. Monica Stevens, good luck.
Well, I thank you very much, Mark, for having me, and thank all of the listeners.
Current State's previous interviews with Ingham County's five other prosecutor candidates can be found at our website. Just go to wkar.org and follow the links to Current State. Well, singer, songwriter, guitarist Michelle Held of Detroit is our Live Music Friday performer here today. Let's hear a song from Michelle now called Behind These Stone Walls.
Plant a tiny garden that grows only good, and dig up all the ugly where hatred once stood. Figured I've asked to see it until it takes you home. And on the sweet fruits of these trees you've grown. Figured ride the sparkle from a star not yet seen. And hold that light in your palm until it's washed clean. You could fill an empty castle before it falls, and bridge new dreams behind these stone walls. If you could see behind these stone walls, if you could see. Figured hold a fallen angel in your arms of steel, and strengthen the wicked until it's no longer real. If you could cast out evil by the wave of your hand, and speak someone's truth until another understands. You could turn a loved one before life is broken, and say all the things I wish your lips would have spoken. If you could hear a lonely heartbeat before it calls, and outlaw its pain that go behind these stones. If you could see behind these stone walls, if you could see behind these stone walls, if you could see.
Behind These Stone Walls, Michelle Held, live in Studio S here on WKAR's Current State. It's a live music Friday. Michelle will be performing along with Jen Siggett, Dave Boutette, and Eric Allen, four people on the bill, this coming Thursday night at the Old Town General Store starting at 7:30 p.m. And you can learn all about Michelle at michelleheld.com. More from Michelle coming up here before the hour is through. I'm Mark Bayshore. This is Current State. Lansing's Old Town has a long tradition as a mecca for artists and musicians. Now, some in the historic neighborhood are hoping to add gardening to its repertoire. This Sunday, nearly a dozen businesses and individuals are hosting the first Old Town Garden Tour as a fundraiser for the Old Town Commercial Association. Current State's Kevin Lavery met Michael Beebe at his home a couple of blocks from the heart of Old Town. He's built his backyard sanctuary as a slice of the tropics off Turner Street.
It definitely is an oasis. With the busy street that I'm on, you come back here and it kind of transports you back into a tropical paradise. It really does. My design that I have in my garden is called Tropicalismo, and what I do is I mix perennials and tropicals, which gives a very nice juxtaposition, I couldn't say that, of various, you know, foliage and flowers and that kind of a thing. But I just love doing it this way because it just gives such a paradise tropical feel.
Show me a plant or a flower, Michael, that you are especially proud of, something that's perhaps exotic here in this urban landscape.
If you come back here, and it's on the other side of the fence, but you can see the palm tree that sets out in front of my yard. It's called a cycad. It's a prehistoric plant, but it's considered a palm. and I've had that for 30 years, and it's just like one of my babies. I bought it at a garage sale, and it was like a foot tall. Now it's 12 foot tall. I have a bougainvillea back here on one of the tree posts. It's a beautiful tropical plant that is very showy in the summer. I've got red leaf bananas. I've got bird of paradise, palms, philodendrons, all mixed with perennials. It's just such a great look. I just love it. Yeah. I call my garden Key West North, by the way, because it kind of gives you that feel of being in the South. So, and then right here, we're looking at my little oval fish pond, which I love. It's got a lot of different water plants in it and some goldfish. That's a very tranquil thing to have, you know, in the yard. It's very soothing. Water is always a soothing thing to have, you know.
Now, don't be coy. Tell me about your fish.
They're just goldfish. I don't have any koi. It's not big enough to really have koi. One of the gardens on the tour, Diane Sanborn, who owns Cozy Koi B&B, she has a fabulous koi pond with giant, beautiful koi, and she hand feeds them, and they'll eat right out of her hand. So that's going to be a highlight of the tour, to see her koi over in her garden. All of the folks on the tour, all the garden hosts, we're all just praying for some rain, and hopefully we can keep our gardens going in the 95-degree heat the next couple of days. It's not easy on the flowers, I'll tell you.
Yeah, I imagine your water bill is not going to be something you want to look at this year.
No, you don't want to know what my water bill is.
Well, this is a beautiful landscape, and there are several others, as you say, Michael, on the tour.
Yes, we have 11 gardens on the tour this year for our first time, yes, and a nice variety.
How about we move away from this area, as beautiful as it is, and let's go see some other things out in Old Town.
Okay.
It's growing in the street, right up through the concrete, but soft and sweet and rainy.
Hi, is Rhea here?
There is a rose in Spanish Harlem.
My name is Rhea Van Atta, and I'm the owner of the Old Town General Store.
One of the stops on the first ever Old Town Urban Garden Tour, which comes up on Sunday. And we are in the back of your shop here in a nice little enclosed area. What are we looking at? We have some colorful chairs here and obviously a nice garden. What do we have here?
Well, what we have here actually is a kind of a meeting space and also a music venue. So when I purchased this building, one of the things that really sealed the deal was the backyard. And at that time, this was just an empty space with a lot of just grass and kind of just junk and overgrown and everything. But I envisioned that stage right where it is. Also, the idea that I would have a space where people can come and play music or spoken word or just come and contemplate life. And that's why it's called A Space for Growth.
Well, let's look at some of the things you have here. You've got some bamboo reeds here that are lining what is otherwise a wrought iron fence, so that kind of deindustrializes your fence a little bit.
Exactly, and plus gives us a slight, you know, privacy to kind of separate our space from the break room area from Pruce Pets, but not to the point where I feel like I have to have this fortress around me. Most of the stuff that we use in here are things that were either found or are reused from found in my barn or something like that.
I'm sure the Scrap Fest folks who just had their wing ding, I'm sure they'll be happy to hear that you are being smart and green about recycling.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many things that's one person's trash is another person's treasure, and that is very, very true.
And your name, Rhea Van Atta, is so well known in this community in mid-Michigan. It really is a branded name when it comes to gardens. Did you really envision yourself having some sort of a garden right from the get-go when you bought the shop?
Well, the original idea, no, I didn't. So this is kind of like a bonus. My past association was part owner, Van Atta's Greenhouse and Flower Shop. I had a vision for the store. But when I saw this space and this building, I dreamed up all this beautiful stuff, and now it's here. It's just fabulous. But to be able to share it with the community is so important to me.
Rhea Van Atta is the owner of the Old Town General Store. We're looking at her garden in the back of her shop. You haven't lost the gardening bug, have you?
Oh, no. I think I'm going to be gardened until I drop dead.
There's a lovely sentiment. Here's a nice place to bury you.
Exactly, yes. Just roll me up in that mat and put me over there.
Thank you, Rhea.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
We have now moved to the grounds near the Brenke Fish Ladder. Michael, we're now walking here in the midday sun to the Robert Busby Memorial Garden. No trip to Old Town is complete without at least mentioning Robert Busby, who many people kind of refer to as the mayor of Old Town.
Yes, he was. He was instrumental in bringing Old Town to the limelight that it is today as a cultural and artsy community. It's just, yeah, he was the, as you say, the mayor. He brought it all together. And here we're coming up to the Memorial Garden right here. There you can see the beautiful sculpture that's the centerpiece of the garden. And here's the plaque. This garden honors all urban pioneers who came together to create a special neighborhood called Old Town. And then there's also plantings of a couple different ornamental maple trees. There's a couple ginkgo trees, three ginkgo trees in the back. And then, of course, all these ornamental grasses. I'm not sure, quite sure what the species, I mean, you know, exactly what they are, but.
So the sculpture in the middle, it's two asymmetrical stone pieces. One on the left is a beige color. The other one's more of a chestnut brown. They are bound together by three, looks like iron bars that connect the two. And then in the center is a bright metallic sphere.
Uh-huh.
And again, that's in tribute to Robert Busby. So if I didn't know who he was and just came across this sculpture randomly, how does that connect with Robert Busby?
Well, you know what? I'm not sure. The artist who did the sculpture would know that it has something to do with bringing Old Town together in one piece, and he's like the center, I believe, there, the sphere of the I don't know what you want to call him, the creator kind of thing, you know?
I gotcha. I see where you're going.
I think that's right.
So the first annual Old Town Urban Garden Tour starts on Sunday. Remind me the hours and how people can get involved.
The hours are 12 to 6. You can get tickets right now online for $15. You go to oldtownevents.com, or you can buy tickets the day of the event for $17. It's a couple more dollars the day of the event. And those can be purchased at the registration table at the Old Town Commercial Association office on Turner Street.
Any feedback so far in anticipation of this event?
There's a lot of buzz going on right now. Everybody's getting on the Facebook page, and oh yeah, it's. I think it's going to be well received. We're hoping it is anyway. Let's just hope people can bear the heat.
Michael Beebe is the coordinator of the first annual Old Town Urban Garden Tour, which kicks off on Sunday. Michael, thank you for taking me around Old Town and showing me some of the great garden spots.
Thank you for interviewing me today and being a part of this.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.
Words like life, healing, motion, ecstasy, hallelujah, bright and spacey. I like words like peace, love, hope, and change, the future and infinity. I like words that make me tall. I like words that make me small. I like things like ideas and dreams, emotionalize the beat. History. I like things that make you see, like star fictionals that went before us and this fuzzy century. I like things that make me tall. I like things that make me small. I seek a mind free and spinning and spitting and giving and strong a world. Headphones on. I seek a mind ecstatic and honest and hungry to sing that believes and longs and seeks to undo wrong. I seek what makes me tall. I seek what makes me small. I seek the peaks and valleys, the in-betweens and all that grows. The seed behind the sky more than you and I might ever know. Oh, 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 oh. Thank you. I feel forgiveness when it's hard to give, fear and struggle and a spirit that won't quit. I feel the last chance, the underdog vision you're born with, the eternal song. I feel what makes me tall, I feel what makes me small. I like people who need to be liked, who feel alone, who know themselves but lost themselves. I like people, my brothers, my sisters, are strangers, who are me as I am them, and that means you. I like people who make me tall. I like people who make me small. I like the peaks and valleys, the in-betweens and all that grows. The seed behind the sky, more than you and I might ever know. I need words that make me small. I need that state of mind when I don't need words at all. And I need you, if you will help me find it.
Detroit singer, songwriter, guitarist Michelle Held performing live here on Current State's Live Music Friday. Michelle's performed in the Lansing area before. She was in East Lansing for a Pump House concert performance just last March, but she's back in Lansing 7:30 Thursday evening at the Old Town General Store, part of their Concerts in the Courtyard program in Old Town Lansing. More from Michelle Held here in just a few minutes. I'm Mark Bayshore. The Fontana Chamber Arts Summer Series is underway in Kalamazoo. Current State's Jamie Paisley joins us now after speaking with one of the Juilliard-trained musicians performing this weekend. Hi, Jamie.
Hi there. That's right. I spoke with Adam Barnett Hart, the first violinist with the New York City-based Escher Quartet. In fact, they are designated artists of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center and frequently perform in Alice Tully Hall. During this Saturday's concert, however, they are in a much more intimate space, Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center, which seats an audience of only about 150 people. But according to Adam, the Escher String Quartet wouldn't have it any other way.
For us, it's great. It's definitely what we would prefer. I think just acoustically, usually it's a better sound, and people get a more immediate experience of the sound. So I think it's really good for the audience as well. I mean, I'm sure... Probably you've heard, and I'm sure many of your listeners have heard, that chamber music was originally written for much smaller rooms, you know, usually for parties or for the composer's friends. So I think it really is a natural fit, and I think people really enjoy being a little bit closer, being able to see us better, being able to hear us better. So I think it's a really good fit for us.
On the Escher Quartet's varied program with the Fontana Summer Series is the third string quartet of Felix Mendelssohn, which is truly a bright piece, part of which might come from the fact that it was composed around the time of Mendelssohn's honeymoon.
Oh, I think it's an extremely cheerful, virtuosic, impressive, exciting piece. And, the key is D major. The first and last movements are very virtuosic, especially for the first violin, I have to say, as I play that part. So it's a very difficult part. And the third movement, I guess, is kind of the slow movement, but it also has this sort of scherzo Mendelssohn-like quality to it as well. So it's not just the total slow movement. It has qualities from, you know, let's say Midsummer Night's Dream or something like that, where it's very light and just very beautiful music.
The Escher Quartet has even released two volumes of Mendelssohn string quartets, with a third volume coming out soon.
I don't think that they've been recorded nearly as much as, well, say, the Beethoven quartets. But the Mendelssohn's very interesting. They trace a path through his life. There's two very early quartets that he wrote when he was a teenager, basically. Mm-hmm. Then there are the three Opus 44s, which are from the middle of his life, like his show his real maturity as a composer. And then there's the Opus 80, which is one of his last pieces, and it's a very tragic work that he wrote after his sister died. And he died, I think,
not long after,
like less than a year later. Yeah, he was just heartbroken when he wrote that piece. So it's really, it's a great group of pieces, and we're excited to record them, and we love playing them.
We're speaking with Adam Barnett Hart of the Escher String Quartet ahead of their performance this weekend in Kalamazoo with the Fontana Chamber Arts Series. In addition to the Mendelssohn, the Escher Quartet will play the second string quartet, an earlier work written around the time of World War I from a composer who has a reputation of rubbing some people the wrong way, Béla Bartók.
Once we've performed a Bartók quartet, I don't feel that people ever have a negative reaction to it. At least I've never felt that. This particular quartet, like you said, is fairly early in Bartók. And I think, for me, it really has a lot to do with World War One. I always think of it as the first movement is this really lush, sort of romantic, beautiful movement. And I always hear that as sort of before the war. Mm-hmm. And the second movement has this just striking opening, which is almost like gunshots. And I hear that as sort of the actual brutality of the battle itself. And the third movement is just desolate. I mean, it's almost like, it's like a graveyard landscape where there's just something so heartbreaking about it. And I see that as the, you know, as the battlefield after the battle is done.
Rounding out the Escher Quartet's performance this weekend in Kalamazoo is the 13th String Quartet by Antonín Dvořák, the one which follows the famous American String Quartet and, suitably, written after his three-year stay in America.
It's a big quartet. It's very meaty. I think it's about 40-some minutes long. I feel like it's Dvořák maybe at his most experimental and adventurous. There's a lot of unexpected modulations. He sort of ties the piece together in a very cyclical way, which is, I think, very unusual for Dvořák. He doesn't often do that. And I think that there's such a sort of Schubertian influence with the length and the sort of monumental scope of the piece, and the way that the modulations works also feels very Schubertian to me. So I think it's a real masterpiece that probably many people haven't heard before, and I think that they'll be very excited to hear it. First starting as a quartet, one of the very first competition that we did was something called Chamber Music Society 2, which is a program that's run by the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center for younger groups and individuals. And it's sort of a little bit of a residency. We ended up winning that competition, and as a result, they hired us to play a lot of concerts over a period of time. Mm. And that was right at the beginning, so it was our big break into performance and having a lot of concerts in New York City, which is an amazing experience for a young group to have. And after that was over, we've just kept playing there. And, you know, it feels like home to us, basically. Alice Tully Hall feels like home. And the group of musicians that we work with and get to know is just a wonderful, wonderful group to be with.
We're speaking with Adam Barnett Hart, the first violinist with the Escher String Quartet, coming to the Fontana Chamber Arts Summer Series this weekend, Saturday, a concert at the Cooper's Glen Auditorium at the Kalamazoo Nature Center. More information about the Fontana Music Series is available online at fontanamusic.org, or you can also find more about the Escher Quartet at escherquartet.com. For Current State, I'm Jamie Paisley.
And I'm Mark Bayshore. Michelle Held is singing and playing live here in Studio S today on WKAR's Live Music Friday. The Detroiter performs mostly her original material, the occasional cover, I guess, but mostly original material. Is songwriting hard, or does it come relatively easy, Michelle?
Well, when I first started writing music, which wasn't too long ago, I wrote my first song summer of 2011. I got to music. Took me a little while to get to music. I kind of dabbled in a lot of different art forms first. But I used to think writing was really difficult. And my first song just kind of, I was trying to write music, and finally I wrote a song. It just kind of poured out of me, and I realized, wow, all you have to do is tell the truth.
Tell
the truth, like what's in my heart. If I really slow down and listen to what's in my heart and tell the truth, it comes a lot easier.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Well, let's hear a song now. This is called Rooted, Michelle Held, here on Current State's Live Music Friday. Rooted, the name of that, from Michelle Held, who performed it live here in Studio S at WKAR on Live Music Friday. We'll make this our formal welcome to Current State. Nice to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
I take it you've done more live performing than recording, am I right?
I have thus far, yeah. I haven't quite got to the recording part yet, except for some home recordings that I've done, but I'm hoping to take care of that soon.
Okay. Are you looking forward to the recording process, or is your heart and soul really in live performance?
Oh, I definitely want to have leave a really beautiful album behind, hopefully.
Yeah, but there's such different things, though, you know, performing maybe with a couple people watching in some studio setting or your bedroom or your living room or wherever it happens to be, and not having the same kind of feedback that you get in a live performance.
Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have something to for people to walk away with.
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I totally understand mm-hmm. that, too. Do you gig mostly here in Michigan, or do you get about or travel outside the state, or what?
I've gotten out a little bit, but mostly in Michigan so far. I think once I do have an album, it would make more sense for me to tour around.
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
Do you play with a band, or are you strictly a solo?
I'm solo. I have started collaborating over the past couple of years with a couple other songwriters. There's a really nice, tight-knit songwriter community in Detroit, and kind of just organically started collaborating with a couple of girls, Audra Kubat and Emily Rose, and we come together occasionally and harmonize on each other's songs.
Nice.
And still do our own thing at the same time.
Are they, now you grew up in the Detroit area.
I did, yes.
Right, but mm-hmm. you live in the city now.
I've lived in the city for the past few years,
okay.
Yes.
What's the music scene like in Detroit?
It's hopping, and there's new venues popping up everywhere, you know, it's kind of...
That is so exciting.
Yeah, everything's changing. Every time I mean, Woodward is just total construction right now.
Yeah.
Hard to get around.
Yeah. There's a story that goes with your guitar, which is a sweet-sounding 1965 Gibson.
It is.
Looks like $1 million, and it sounds... Sounds even better. Tell us how you picked up that guitar.
Well, it was on consignment at Berklee Music in Berklee, Michigan, from a rabbi. And he was asking $1,200 for it, and I offered $1,111.11 because I thought it was lucky. And they called him to make him that offer, and he said he really, it took a while to get a hold of him because he said he really couldn't do business till Monday because it was Passover.
Oh.
But eventually
he sold it for $1,111.11.
Yes.
And did he ask why?
He laughed and he said that sounded like a good offer.
Okay. Sounded lucky to him too, I guess.
Yeah.
What do you have since you focused on live performance here recently, you haven't been at this that long. You wrote your first song 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Do you have a most memorable live performance? Is there one that stands out in your memory?
Well, last year around this time, performed on my birthday last year, August 16th, at the Detroit Institute of Arts with Audra and Emily, who I mentioned. And that was pretty amazing to perform in that amazing venue.
Was that in the courtyard? Was it in the courtyard?
Yes, it was in the...
I cannot imagine how special that must have been.
It was...
That is such an extraordinary environment.
I can't imagine a better birthday.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to top it this year.
On your birthday.
Yeah.
Is it a good room for... I mean, it's...
The acoustics are amazing.
Okay, so the acoustics are good for what you guys did.
Oh, yeah, it was beautiful.
There's no other space I think I've ever been in quite like that courtyard. That's really special. Did you? What are your earliest musical memories?
Well, growing up, my parents, my dad listened to a lot of Motown, and I remember a lot of Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton from my mom.
Okay.
And a lot of standards and jazz standards, and that's kind of what I grew up on. Wasn't really till later that I started getting into songwriters. When I first heard, you know, about the Bob Dylan Freewheelin', it kind of blew my mind. I didn't know that music, that you could kind of change things and say things that seem important.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did.
I was like, wow. And then I really started getting into, like, the songwriters. And I love Nina Simone as well. And she has that great quote, it's an artist's duty to reflect on the times. I love that quote. And that's what I love about both of them. And, yeah.
Michelle Held is our guest here today. The Detroit-based singer, songwriter, guitarist performs this Thursday night at 7:30 in the Old Town General Store, part of their Concerts in the Courtyard program. I had a question, and it just eluded. Oh, I know. I wanted to ask you about your vibrato. Several people have commented about your vibrato, and I have as well. It's really striking.
Yeah, thank you. I kind of shied away from it for a long time. When you're young, I sounded different, and I got made fun of for it. I even had a voice teacher once tell me, you know, what is that? Don't do that.
Oh.
And it wasn't till, you know, I started tinkering around with the guitar, and a friend heard it, and she's like, what is that? Do more of it. I love it. And I kind of started embracing it. And now I feel really blessed to have that uniqueness in my voice.
Well, we want to remind everyone that you can learn more about Michelle and access some of her music at michelleheld.com, not surprisingly, and she will be performing live along with Jen Siggott, Dave Boutette, and Eric Allen, amongst others, 7:30 p.m. this Thursday night at the Old Town General Store here in Lansing. We're going to have Michelle play us out after I remind you that Monday on Current State, we're going to talk with a couple people associated with the Greater Lansing Housing Coalition. This week, several Lansing residents complained of feeling intimidated at a meeting involving Lansing's troubled South Washington Park apartments. That complex is overseen by the Housing Coalition. We'll have Patricia Baines-Lake and Tony Baltimore join us here for that on Current State. I'm going to turn the rest of it over back to Michelle Held, who can just strum or play or do whatever she wants here to take us to the top of the hour. Michelle, it was nice to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
This world used to feel too big to get anywhere. Now feels too small and no one seems to care. But anything but their own personal dream. I want to live forever, do my eyes glow, does my skin gleam? Swimming in polluted oceans and magic potions. Look at me. Appear from the cracks, I'm a wrinkled brown box. It knocks anything without the same packaging. And as my box gets shipped off to war, that's when I decide that I got something to fight for. By then it's too late and the damage is too great. Look for somewhere to bury my anger and fear. Cross an invisible line because it's safe here. Shout you words of honor and respect, cause that's the 99 others crying. I continue to elect the one of a kind who has sold the old story to the weak, fragile mind.